Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome back to the Box Set Pod. This week brought to you by, I've been to Dubai, Bangkok and Hong Kong and I have seen the world. Also, for any people who've listened since the start, out of interest, and this is the only way you'd know, this would be season 7 of the box set today. It stopped labelling it because we didn't want to imply that you have to have listened from the start. We are here to be used and abused and dipped in and out of as you wish. But it is interesting, 7 seasons on, still going strong. And unlike most podcasts, we actually get worse with age. So there's no, you really should go back and listen from the beginning. This week we will be discussing the latest box set news, but focusing on episode 1 of Luke Cage. Some regulars on, and a special guest hopefully too. The last time we did a pod it was so hot that I could barely keep my clothes on. In fact, one podcast I took all my clothes off. This week though, barely 3 weeks later, it is so cold that Jack Frost is nipping at my toes. As is Jamie. Here he is. Hi Jamie, how was the autumn?
Hello.
How does the change in season change your viewing habits, and how's the state of babydom in your life as well?
Baby is still very much staying in base camp at the moment in my wife's uterine.
Yeah, thank you.
No movement as yet, but as far as the viewing habits have gone, very busy on the watching. I have watched on Amazon, I've watched Goliath starring Billy Bob Thornton. So as a lawyer who takes on a huge company, aka the Goliath and David reference, and it's actually very good. It's got a lot of really crappy reviews, but we enjoyed the hell out of that. And we're binging away merrily, waiting for a child to arrive.
Wow! So no Chuck then.
Chuck, yes. Yeah, once again, still on the back burner. That
it's
bad
just
boy.
Amazing. I irregularly most nights. Let me give you. Let's also welcome to the podcast regulars Matthew Wandless from North London. Good evening, Matthew.
Hello there. Sorry, and, I haven't watched Chuck either.
And from Comedyville, it's Tiernan Dooyeb. How are you, Tiernan?
I'm good. I've watched one episode of Chuck and then forgot about it.
So, which brings me to my point. I despair most nights because, and I've said this before, but I can't believe it's only me on this podcast who really lives the dream of the of the podcast, because I'm now into season 2 of Community, ladies and gentlemen, and I love it. It's brilliant, and as we discussed it a couple of weeks ago, and we discussed it was a little difficult to get into, but I. It's just amazing. The paintball episode, all the things that you mentioned. Chevy Chase in his finest role ever, but aside from Christmas Vacation. It's just brilliant. I'm also on the last season of Gilmore Girls, thanks to this podcast. Everything from the night of to Gilmore Girls. There must be about 10 box sets that I've now watched every season of, and I wouldn't have done if it wasn't for this podcast. I am the only one
Nurse
living
Jackie.
To right.
I've
okay,
watched Nurse Jackie, thanks to this podcast.
One.
Yeah, I've watched all of 30 Rock thanks to this podcast, and there's
there
quite a lot.
There you go.
Okay,
there
Matt.
What about you, Matt?
I have one as well. What was it?
You had one.
No, there was one.
Game of Thrones, maybe. You're ploughing on with that, aren't you?
Yeah, but not because of this.
Okay.
Well, actually, you know what? Both of those I have started back on because of this podcast, definitely.
Yes.
Okay.
And I'm really loving Walking Dead now. I think it's excellent.
Yeah.
Never mind. I'll think of it if it comes to me.
You see, and all I'll say is this: the reason that I despair is because these things that I'm now hooked on, I love. And I think to every one of you who've been guinea pig for various things, and I just go, you know what, the theory that we had at the beginning of this of setting up, listening, watching episode 1 and then letting people persuade me, if you just go with it, it's changed my life. I've watched things that I would have never have watched, and I've got so much out of it, especially Gilmore Girls. What a fine example of something that I would never have watched. And then I watch it every night now. So I urge you to believe in the mantra of this podcast.
Mm. Can I just say, though, we're back to Nurse Jackie.
Yeah.
One of the worst endings to a show ever. Very, very disappointing, the ending.
You thought?
I really didn't like it. Really didn't like that ending. Also, I found it very sad. And
well, yeah.
Don't bother.
I don't know, it couldn't have ended in any other way, really. And could have done if they'd have carried on with the kind of writing they had in season four, which was phenomenal. You know, like the Jamie, you know now what I mean about. Oh, we discussed it already. The Candyman episode.
Oh yeah, there's some brilliant comedy in it.
That
it's a
series
show.
That fourth season is amazing, and then that last season, it feels like they wipe the slate clean at the beginning, and it all goes a bit. You go, we don't want this. We don't.
I think what it does really well is it deals with addiction amazingly well, and it gives you the idea of the frustration of having someone you care about who's addicted, because you care about Jackie, and you genuinely go through the frustration and the pain of watching a relapse.
But that's why they couldn't end it in a really inventive, different way, I think, because you have to respect that.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I suppose.
I think they ended it the only way it was going to end, unfortunately.
Yeah, maybe that's it. I'm just, it was painful. Painful to watch.
Yeah, well, look, why don't you update us on some box set news, Jamie, and then we're going to get my special guest on. We're going to talk about Luke Cage. Oh, and I also want to add a bit of news that Ben has only just let us know. Apparently there's now going to be, Apple have just launched their TV app, which looks pretty good. Pretty good news for the box setter. Apple have launched a TV app.
What's that? Like their own sort of Amazon Prime, or
who knows? Yeah. Tin, and literally nobody knows.
Ooh. Yeah, I think that is the way it's going. This was in my news a long time ago that they were working on this, and they're working on their own programming as well. They're just trying to do the model that's been incredibly successful for Netflix and co. Speaking of Netflix, let's go to the news then. theboxsetpod.com/news. Find it all there. There's a trailer up, first of all, for Black Mirror, which has already been released. It's out on Netflix, season 3. So they bought it. They bought the rights. They beat Channel 4, who had to spend all their money on the Bake Off. Mm-hmm. So they got hold of Black Mirror, and season 3 has been extended to 6 episodes in it. Has anybody got going on Black Mirror?
I have never done Black Mirror, so shall we do it next week?
Oh my God.
Really good.
How do you do it, though? I mean, like, because do you do the
Netflix
original ones on Channel 4, or do you just do the ones?
Netflix has got all 3 seasons now.
So we'll go season 1, episode 1.
Start at the beginning. And the thing is, it's not like it's a continuing story. They're all based in this particular sort of world where technology and human desire meet and create these different sort of rather dark premonitions of the future, but you'll love it. It's like they're all individual little stories, a bit Twilight Zone-y, Charlie Brooker.
They're all terrifying. Nearly all absolutely terrifying. I think all because they are all about just one step away from plausible reality.
Let's save it for next week.
Off a lot of technology because of it.
Excellent. Excellent.
Very good. Trailer's up there if you want to tease yourself before you watch it. Also up is, because with the presidential debates that they've ended now, and the election's only a couple of weeks away. There's somebody on the internet, a guy by the name of Never Caesar, did a Trump rested development where he took Donald Trump's statements and his debates and turned it into a mini episode of Arrested Development. And it's very good. It's worth a watch. It shows up the bullshit that comes out of that man's mouth on a regular basis, in a terrifying way as well.
Well, but on my travels around the world, which I've not told you about, and I'm not going to have time, but I had a what an amazing bits of the world I've been to. But the only thing that I touched in with in terms of reality was the Trump stuff. I was following, you know, the election. Very interesting to watch that in different countries as well, and just go, oh, Jesus, God, please, there, but by the grace of anything, do we go in that direction? It would be terrifying.
Yeah, it's scary. Anyway. Also, news-wise, Fox have brought together the comedic talent of Will Ferrell, and the legendary wrestling experience of Dwayne The Rock Johnson, and they are creating a pro wrestling sitcom. So according to Dwayne Johnson, The Rock, the show's going to look at the backstage world of wrestling. Will Ferrell is going to be involved. We think he's going to do a bit of writing and maybe a few... he might be the main one of the main characters, which is the comedy writer who joined forces with a charismatic young sports entertainment star based loosely on The Rock's beginnings, his career, and become a powerhouse in the world of wrestling. And, you know, the wrestling world is prime fodder for comedy.
I've always thought that. Wrestling and porn, those are two places where I feel like a sitcom should be set.
So Will Ferrell's heading in that direction, which is very exciting, and we'll wait to see what happens there. That is your news.
Wrestling's harder because you're limited with your casting.
Well, and also because
they all have to be beefy chaps.
Also, I think because you've got such a devout audience that probably don't necessarily want it to be taken the piss out of, you know. You've got a massive potential audience for anything with wrestling, but if you're taking the piss out of it, you've got to get that comedy right, don't you? You've got to get the tone right. I think.
Yeah, because if you remember when
with affection.
Yeah.
Yeah, because remember when Louis Theroux did his he went over to the wrestling world back in the 90s, wasn't it? And he kind of made a comment about whether they, you know, it was a sport or whether it was just, you know, it's just a drama, it's just all fake.
Yeah.
And the people in the gym who were all wrestlers pretty much bullied him for about 30 minutes until he threw up, trying to just make him work his ass off in the gym. It was quite harsh.
Anyway, let's get... Oh, by the way, we haven't touched on the last podcast, which was where I got myself in a racist-shaped hole. Which now, Matt, I believe, has listened to the podcast. Is that correct?
Yeah.
And your take on that was, in a sentence...
I thought you were 100% right.
Oh! Are you being funny?
Yeah.
Well, although she's been absent from many podcasts, I actually met up with our compadre Marsha this week in person in Manchester. She's on a bit of a world tour and she's looking forward to coming back. And while she thinks if I'd have used the term cultural bias rather than racism, she thinks that I was... stabbing in the exact right ballpark, in that she believes that it would be silly of any of us to say that we don't bring a different cultural bias to things, and that perhaps jumping ship 15 minutes in might have something to do with that. Doesn't mean somebody's racist.
That's slightly different than saying if you don't like it, you're a racist.
I didn't. If you listen back to it, the way I actually said it was, is it possible that there could possibly be some subconscious racism? And what I should have said was cultural bias in this, but I do mean it. I still stand by it, and I still feel like you white people have let the podcast down by not watching The Get Down. So that's that.
I watched the first 20 minutes of The Get Down, by
the way. Here we go. Here we bloody go. 20 minutes?
I lasted about that long as well.
No. I watched it with the full intention of watching the rest of it. I was watching 20 minutes because then I was going to watch it with my wife the next day if I didn't hate it.
Okay.
And all I could think of was, what a lot of black people. I was really enjoying it, and I fully intend to watch the whole thing. Okay, I really like the style. I thought it was great.
Here comes our special guest. Tiernan and Matt both have met at least once or twice this person. He is not famous, but his name is Sam Knowles.
Oh, hey, Sam.
Here we go. We're going to get him on now. And the reason is really quite interesting. Speaking of my diatribes, Sam, are you there?
I am, yes.
Yay!
Hello.
Hey, man.
Sam.
Hey, man, how are you?
Yes, very good, thanks. Very good.
There we go. And Tiernan as well. You can say hello to him as well if you like.
Oh, Tiernan.
There you go. And Sam, you've not met Jamie. This is Jamie.
No.
Hi, Sam.
Sam is a long time massive fan of this podcast. That's fair to say, isn't it, Sam?
Yes. Yeah.
Great. And one of my diatribes of late, do you remember when we got on to Taste and we were talking about, I was saying that I believe generally, given time, anyone can love pretty much any professional TV series. That's sums it up badly. But Sam emailed out of interest, and he said it was very interesting. He said, I wanted to ask, where do you draw your line in the sand? Because I said there is a line in the sand between good and bad. I'm not having a go at you, he said on his email. I was just wondering. Presumably you'd never devote an episode to Mrs. Brown's Boys. If you did, I'd delete the podcast and destroy my iPhone. So we got in an email conversation just before I went on holiday. And unfortunately, Sam stumbled across the perfect example, because I used to really hate the look of Mrs. Brown Boys. I didn't get it. And then one Christmas, my dad, who loves it, had it on, and I had to watch the Christmas special. And by the end, I understood it top to bottom. I understood the comedy. I was laughing my head off. I cried while I was watching it. And it was another point in my life when I went, oh my God, this taste thing is fascinating to me. So I explained that to Sam and said, I hope that you don't burn the podcasts and never listen again. What did you do after that point, Sam?
I went away and watched an episode of Mrs. Brown's Boys.
What a beauty. If only all of the guests on this podcast were as dedicated as you. And what did you think, Sam?
It's not something I'd do again. but at the same time, I can completely understand what you were saying,
yeah.
All about the comedy and where it came from and the relationships between the actors. And it's not like I did a Jack and turned off halfway through. I did watch the whole episode and found it passingly amusing and was glad I'd done it.
There you go. Put that on the poster. Passively amusing. thank you, Sam. And then Sam and I got chatting about what we were doing on the box set this week, and it came down to Luke Cage. And Sam said, when I said, have you watched Luke Cage, what did you say, Sam?
I said, nah, not interested.
And that's where the podcast ends.
Yeah. I said I loved it and have written a couple of journal articles about it. One that's coming out in the next couple of days, but one that was out a few days ago.
Wow. And what's the sort of subject area of these journals? What's your...
Well, the journal is...
Why people who don't like the Get Down are big old racists.
Yes.
Yes, exactly. No, the journal is African American Intellectual History Society, and it has articles on a variety of stuff to do with race in America. And the first article I wrote was to do with actually another comic, not really Luke Cage at all. And the second one is about what the showrunners have done in converting a stereotype cliche black exploitation 1970s comic into a really brilliant TV series.
There you go. Otherwise known as where was Sam last week when I needed him? A brain. So let's put our cards on the table then and do what we always do and see where we're all up to with Luke Cage. I have watched episode one of Luke Cage. Jamie?
One
episode. Matthew?
Uno.
And Tiernan?
All of it.
There we go. So Tiernan, we know, is a big comic book fan from previous discussions. Sam has watched it all. Who should we start with? Why don't we set up the world as well? Jamie, do you want to do a bit of a setup?
Yeah, it's a man called Luke Cage, and I've watched Jessica Jones, so I've seen him in that character of Luke Cage, and in this world, he is working in a barber shop, cleaning the hair off the floor. Also, he's part time working in a nightclub. And he's superhuman. He can't be. He's indestructible, and he's pretty strong as well. And he's sort of in this world where there's a bit of trouble going on, and there's a bad kingpin at the top of the nightclub world, and that's episode one, really.
You should write to the Radio Times.
Is anyone else getting the sense that this is Jamie's favourite show of all time?
Matt, can you set that up any better?
I suppose not. I mean, it takes place, I think, after the events of Jessica Jones.
Yeah, I was trying to work that out. I wasn't sure if it was before.
Well, they refer
or after.
To her directly in the first episode, I think, and they mention an event that happened in that series towards the end.
Yeah.
It's him sort of trying to keep a low profile as a superhero, really. He's he's working low grade jobs, but sort of can't help from getting embroiled in the sort of quite violent world that he inhabits.
He was literally working as a waitress in a cocktail bar and sweeping up hair. And yeah, I think we're going to have something that comes up in this podcast a couple of times. Do we talk about this within the world of Marvel and Jessica Jones and knowledge of that or not? Because I don't have that knowledge. But we'll come back to that. Matt, what did you think of it?
I enjoyed it, but was not instantly compelled to continue, though I will.
Mm-hmm.
It felt like a slow start.
Jamie?
Similar to Matt, but I think my problem really was that I watched it with my wife, Lauren, and she, from the start, was not interested. And it's hard to watch something and get into it when you're watching it with someone who is uninterested in the programme. And it's kind of like criticising it a little bit while you're watching it. So it was hard because I had a negative influence in the room. She can't hear me right now. That's
sounds like a jerk, Jamie.
It was quite interesting watching this after the Get Down because it is almost, it's the Harlem to Brooklyn, but it's kind of a similar, very much set in a similar world and time, or it feels like it's in a similar time, it's not. And there's, it seems to be a different kind of reel because of Baz Luhrmann and stuff. But that, the two couldn't contrast more in terms of pace and the things thrown at you by Baz Luhrmann in the Get Down, you know. That was my biggest criticism was pace. Was actually I was so bored by this program. I was so bored till basically in the last 2 minutes of episode one, and it's what, an hour long. In the last 2 minutes, finally Spider-Man gets bit by a spider, so to speak. And stuff happens. And yeah, I will probably move on to episode two because I know that it feels like the point of episode one was supposed to be a coiled spring that then springs at the end. But I didn't feel the coiledness. I didn't feel the tension grow at all. It felt so laboured and slow. I was bored. I wasn't paying much attention. I found it so difficult. And it just came back to me in my head. I thought, Sam's written journals on it and Tiernan's a massive fan. That surely you have to bring it. Like, it's relying on a big knowledge of the Marvel world to hold you through that first hour, isn't it?
It's in kind of a unique position, this show. Hmm. Because Daredevil and Jessica Jones are the two others that exist in this part of the Marvel universe at the moment. Hmm. And this is the first one that has directly referenced the other two as having happened.
Yeah.
And so this is the first time they've stepped out and gone, okay, we're not going to mollycoddle you anymore. You know, the world exists now. Either watch it or don't watch it. But if you don't, then you're missing out.
And it gets, you know, it's there, it's rated 5 stars. And so you go, oh, this must be great. People are talking about it. But it goes against every rule of screenwriting. You know, nothing, there is no objective set in the first 10 minutes. There's no explosion that happens in the first 10 minutes.
They know that people are going to watch because of Daredevil and Jessica Jones. They know they have an audience for it. And I think there's partly that, you know, there's partly the knowing that the Marvel audience know that there's more to come. We've seen, if you have watched Jessica Jones, you've seen him in action fighting already, so you know there is more that will happen.
But what a bad business move, Tin, and what a bad business move. Unless you're going to call it Jessica Jones 2, you've got to try and welcome new people in.
But this is what I was also going to say, is that Netflix really, you know, I think that there was an article about it recently, wasn't there? I think we were posting on it on our Slack thing, but that Netflix know people get into a show at episode 2, 3 or 4. Mm-hmm. And so that they know people are in it for the long game. Because I'm a big fan of Luke Cage, I loved it, but I found episode 1 and most of episode 2 very slow. And I still think there's a big problem with all their Marvel series, in particular, where they're 13 episodes. And actually, if all of them were just 10 episodes, they'd be amazing. But there always seems to be 2 to 3 episodes of filler. Problem with it. And I don't know why, when Netflix allows you to do things like all the Black Mirror episodes are completely different lengths because Netflix doesn't mind. Mm. I don't know why Marvel are insisting on 13 episodes and making things take longer than they should. But Netflix know they have a captive audience. I knew I was going to watch it all. You know, I episode one's probably my least favourite of the series, but I still knew I was going to sit and watch it all because I'm a big fan. And I think Marvel fans particularly, there are enough little nods to things. There's enough little hints and Easter eggs throughout episode one to other Marvel films, bits and pieces, that you know that that's enough to lock you in. So I know you say you should be able to look at this without having that Marvel fandom, but I don't think they care anymore.
I think that they do. I don't think that when Netflix say, you know, this podcast should be put out of a job, we shouldn't have to persuade people to make it to episode four. I think when Netflix say they've learnt people only get into things at episode four, I think they'd much rather people get into things episode one. And whilst it's nice that they're not putting the pressure on that studios do to be whiz bangs from the start, at the same time, it was bloody boring. Sam, how does it feel to hear me say that Luke Cage is lukewarm?
Right, I've got a response to you. And my response is that a comparison I thought while thinking about this was with one of your favourite shows, and it was with The West Wing. Because...
Careful here, Sam.
I know, I'm being careful. I'm treading on eggshells. But I've got a whole bunch of, like, intellectual reasons. But the point is that you have to have a more impassioned reason to continue through a series. Mm. Otherwise, I mean, there's no point watching. So... All the reasons I've got are interesting, but the fundamental reason is that it's like The West Wing in that there are certain shots, and I know what Tim says, there's less of these, if possibly none of these, fewer of these, in episode one. There are more of these as the series progresses, but there are certain scenes that are shot beautifully, and the acting's spot on, and the script is razor sharp, and there are always going to be scenes or sequences in your favourite series like The West Wing, for example, that you feel are dragging and you think, OK, there's a coiled spring here, but can I just get to the payoff? And then suddenly you have an iconic scene like, I know I don't know The West Wing well enough, but you've got the Bartlett, Leviticus, Christianity, DJ, homosexuality rant, and it builds to that. And you can kind of forgive more humdrum sections, I think, because you know this is going somewhere brilliant. And I think there are enough moments in this series that are like beautiful little films or scenes from films. There is an amazing scene in the second episode with Misty Knight on a basketball court.
It's
just brilliant.
But we've got to get there. And why take an hour to do that? That's my problem, is I'm going, why did you need an hour to do this? Because the West Wing analogy is fine once you pass the pilot. In the pilot, the very first thing happens in the West Wing is we find out that, you know, POTUS has fallen off a bicycle. Who's POTUS? Who's POTUS? It's the President of the United States. Like, there's a massive big whopping fishhook at the start of that thing. And this doesn't go out of its way, or it doesn't even try to give us anything like that. It just presumes that we will sit for 58 minutes, and I feel like it lets itself down, that they should have had me more intrigued. I still watched it, didn't I? I didn't turn it off. So
you did?
But you have to do a podcast.
That's true.
I mean, I also wonder if there's a thing of, you know, if it had been on, say, TV in the old-fashioned way, they might have shown episodes one and two together. Because when you watch episodes one and two, but from episode end of episode two onwards, it picks up a real pace. And it feels like those two episodes are intro sequence, in a way.
Yeah.
Which, again, I can see what you mean. You might just watch episode one and stop. But Netflix seem to have taken two episodes to introduce everything. Right. So I don't know if, again, they kind of go, well, we've got a captive audience that are are going to sit through this, so let's take our time with it. And I do think the character development over two episodes is far stronger than other series where they just have to introduce everyone extremely quickly.
Exactly. We're figuring out how to use TV in this era.
Yeah.
Because as we said earlier, this is a unique release in that now, the format now, Netflix just gives you the whole show. There's no sense of timing anymore. Like with TV as we used to have it in the past, you know, you either saw it or you didn't. And then obviously you start recording things and that kind of thing. But now it's just there and you've got your subscription. So you can watch it whenever you want. And you can wait and you can find out what other people think of it. And so of course things are going to change in the way a series develops now. And I like the fact that they're playing with the form. I don't think it's come off particularly well in this, because I do tend to agree that first episode is an off-putter more than a draw-inner, if I can just make up terms.
Professional terms, yeah.
They get their character development out of the way now so that they can then, in the rest of the series, just go, we've done all that shit now. This is all our information dumping in the first two episodes, and now we can just go blam.
But do you think as well, because you say they're playing with the form, but the problem with the comic book form is that we're now so oversaturated.
I'm not talking about the comic book form. The series form.
I know that's what you mean. But what I'm saying is, whilst they're allowed to play with that, you can't escape with Luke Cage the fact that we know what the form's going to be. We know that it's a coil screen. We know that we're waiting for the superhero to come into their powers. So have we got, Jamie, have we got comic book fatigue somewhat? Does that work against it for the non-Marvel nerd?
Yeah, I feel a bit... I'm a bit Marveled out at times. I do feel... I struggled with Daredevil Series 2. I liked Jessica Jones, but I more liked the bad guy in it than anything else. I feel like...
Is that just because you fancy David Tennant? Come on.
He's bloody great, isn't he? He's a bloody marvel. But I do want to mention that your point, Matt, about the way we're watching things is a very, very good point, because you're right, I feel like I'm at a stage now where with watching things, like you'll have that list on Netflix of things you're currently watching, and I might be sort of two episodes into one thing and three into another, and I'm just leaving them. I've got Bloodline Series 2 waiting to three episodes in, waiting to go back into that. And I feel like the things that I'm choosing to watch are the things that really compel me to continue watching immediately after, and that I want to watch. For some things I think, oh, they're good, but I'm not really going to watch it in a binge way. I'm going to go back and watch it when I've got not much else that I'm really interested in watching. And it's the things that are compelling, immediately compelling, that I'm sticking with and are taking like the priority seat.
I'll add something to that though, Jamie, and that we've discussed it before, of having a bit like Lilyhammer, and I find it with the Gilmore Girls as well. Gilmore Girls, great example. You try and binge watch that, which is what I'm doing, and the style is it's so fast, and the dialogue is so of one voice that you can start chewing your own face off with frustration. But it's part of a world that you enjoy belonging to, like with Lilyhammer. So there's either the thing that's compelling you, or there's the world that you want to go to. You go, oh, I just want to go and spend some time in that environment. And with the Marvel Universe being all one, Daredevil, Luke Cage, Jessica Jones, we know that world very well, and we know it as quite a dark world. We know there's bad guys and there's superheroes that are trying to beat the bad guys. And it doesn't feel like a world that I want to enjoy myself in, because I know that not much is going to change. It's almost like the never-ending story in that world.
I would say that this does give a different angle to the Marvel world. I don't understand what you're saying, but I think for a start, it's in Harlem. Luke Cage doesn't wear a mask; he is himself. It very much shows, Harlem is a predominantly black area. It focuses a lot on music and kind of the feel of the area. I think it tries to give a completely different aspect to the world that we already know. It's trying to show what's going on in Harlem in that world.
Yeah.
And it focuses on issues of ghettoisation and of prejudice.
Corruption.
And corruption. Various other angles that it takes under its belt that perhaps aren't shown in Daredevil, Jessica Jones, or any of the films. And I think also, just as something I touched on there, it uses music incredibly well over the series. I mean, I'm a big fan of a lot of the music it uses, but there's a bit in episode 4, and I won't ruin anything, but they use a Wu-Tang track in a way that I think I've been waiting for it to be used since I was about 22. It's one of the best. I was like, finally, someone's used that track properly that deserves to have it with. What was that?
There is an amazing scene with the Dusty Springfield song being used like that.
Yes.
So yes, good.
Also true.
All right.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Look, okay, we've explored our frustrations. Let's move on to the important stuff, which is, why do we carry on? Why should we carry on? Why is this markedly different from, apart from the ways that Tin has just said, which are interesting, why, for what exciting reasons, should I continue this as my entertainment choice, Sam?
Right. Well, I think the first thing to mention is, following on from what Tin was saying there, is that this is unashamedly a part of the African-American experience, and this is not a Marvel property. You can forget about Marvel, because, okay, if you want to think about the MCU and you want to find all the Easter eggs then and think about being a superhero, then that's absolutely fine. But first and foremost, this is groundbreaking in terms of not using predominantly white actors, and it just... The moment the action starts, they're in a barbershop talking about basketball and reading Chester Himes and reading Ralph Ellison. You think, this is Black American culture, and this is what the rest of the world has been missing, and this is what has been... A white version of this has been thrown at the world and the cultural environment for far too long. And it's just... It's so refreshing and so brilliant to see a series being unapologetically what it is. I mean, as Tien says, it's set in Harlem. It's predominantly talking about experiences to do with corruption, as Matt said, but also development. One of the big projects, the building projects they introduced either in the first episode or the second, is called the New Harlem Experience. Oh, no, New Harlem Renaissance. And the Harlem Renaissance was a cultural movement from the 1920s. So this feels like a bunch of people saying, finally, we can tell a certain story that has been silenced for too long.
Just to pause, just to take a very quick aside and then back to Jamie, I'm sorry. Just want to say, Sam, the reason I got so angry and in a hole about the Get Down last week, calling people racist, is exactly what you've just said. That's what I think the Get Down does in a slightly different universe. That's exactly why I was so happy with it. But Jamie,
Howell, are you saying, so to throw your argument at you then, Howell, are you saying then, are you bringing your cultural bias, dare I even say racism, to your negativity towards Luke Cage?
And the correct answer to that is, the correct answer is, I don't know, I might be. That's the right answer to that. I mean, can't possibly know.
Having not yet heard last week's podcast, but Baz Luhrmann is a white man, whereas this has been directed by predominantly black directors. It's got a black showrunner. It's a predominantly black team working on it as well. Ali Shaheed Muhammad from Tribe Called Quest doing all the music score. Marvel, who, as Sam was saying, they've got a history of whitewashing characters. I've just seen Doctor Strange this week where, the Asian character's now white. How bizarre. And Luke Cage is a hero for sort of the black community to look up to, as opposed to all the other white heroes that the rest of the world have. And that is hugely important. I mean, if you look at the response that it's had from sort of a lot of black American writers, they all have just gone, finally, why has it taken so bloody long? But also all the references throughout to people like Crispus Atticus and various other black history figures. It's just peppered throughout it.
Well, just I hope they're saying that about the Get Down as well. That's what I'm saying.
It's not just race as well. It's gender. There are some brilliant female roles in this. Yeah. Missy Knight, Claire Temple, even Maria Dillard, who's a complete arsehole, is actually played really well. So there's something.
There is no
diversity
doubt
throughout this.
Yeah, and there is no doubt in my mind. This was my point last week when I was saying, is there a chance we could be bringing some subconscious bias to it? There's no doubt that I'll bring subconscious bias to it. And everything that you've just said is intellectually, academically interesting to me.
Yeah.
But from Shakespeare, whatever has ever been written, white, black, music, film, theatre, things happen. No, from whether Shakespeare or any form of entertainment still has to adhere to the rules of entertainment, and I want to know from you whether A, it speeds up. What are the flashes and bangs, and where's the excitement going to come from this?
It speeds up. There's a huge twist in one of the central relationships very early on.
Okay.
There was that twist completely floored me, and it. I mean, I've been watching a lot of films and a lot of TV, and I will see something and think, oh, that was interesting, but actually I can see how that was telegraphed. And this is the first time in a long time that something has really, really floored me.
Nice.
I mean, Tim will know what it is, but it's brilliant.
Okay. Good.
Yeah, it's really good.
So there's so much about there are those like I said, those iconic moments, those scenes that you wait for, like in other series. But there are twists, and the action picks up.
Pace picks up.
A good villain as well. I think Cottonmouth in particular is a really interesting villain. He becomes you enjoy watching him almost as much as, you know, watching, in fact, probably more than watching Luke Cage for quite a bit of it. And I do think, like, as I said, particularly there's one in episode four, but the action sequences along with the music, when they really pick up a pace sort of after episode two or from the end of episode two, and they are brilliant throughout. They're really, really good.
Matt, are you feeling persuaded to continue? Do you need more?
No, I knew I was going to continue anyway, and I was always going to carry on because I'm a big fan of Mike Coulter. I think he's fantastic as Luke Cage. From Jessica Jones and straight into this, I think he's just a really magnetic leading man, and I'd like to see more of him.
Does anyone know how tall he is?
Eight foot three.
He is shorter than Luke Cage, the character.
I'm wondering if they've lowered the ceilings because it's short.
Well, Mike Coulter's 6 foot three, and the character of Luke Cage is 6 foot six, foot seven.
That's a fucking fast, isn't it?
Yeah, what a joke.
But I really like the guy who plays Cottonmouth as well. I can't remember. He was one of my favourite things about House of Cards.
House of Cards, yeah.
Yeah, he's great. But also, again, I feel like, whilst you're talking about how different this world is, when in episode one I watch this bad guy start slapping someone around and then pummel them horrifically to death, you know, I've just watched the latest episode of Walking Dead, and I feel like I've seen this all, what with Game of Thrones and everything. I do feel like I've seen that character before. And is he going to go in directions that are beyond that, that are more?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
He's got a lot of depth to him. I genuinely think he's a fascinating character.
Okay. Jamie, how are you feeling?
I have to say, both of you have sold it beautifully. Sam, Tiernan, you've done a fantastic job of bringing both, you know, just genuine enthusiasm for the story, but also the context, which is actually really, it does excite me. All of what you've said has.
I mean, I will say I didn't need to put a very point like earlier that every Marvel series has 3 hours too much in it. So there are I'd say probably not until about episode 10 or so there's another like little dip, but I don't think it faults. I don't think that's a reason not to watch it. I just think that it's a fault that Marvel seem to have with Netflix, and I don't know why they insist on making too many episodes, but...
Yeah, I agree. Well, thank you, everyone. Does So I will continue with it. I think we'll all continue with it. I'm wondering whether when Jamie has his baby, and no doubt he'll want a couple of weeks off, I wonder whether we should actually do a unique thing on this podcast and actually carry on episode by episode on maybe Luke Cage or another series. I'm not sure. Maybe become more like another podcast in that sense, but... I don't know. Obviously, that's not met with huge applause there, so we'll consider that. But keep your thoughts coming. studio@theboxsetpod.com. Thank you to Ricky, I think, who emailed us. We're going to try and get him on.
Harold, just to respond to what you just said, I think we should do that a bit, but I think we should do it as a retrospective rather than a continuing thing. I think we should start doing some retros.
Oh, that's a good idea.
And spoilerific retrospectives, yeah.
Yeah, for people who've watched a lot.
It's one of the things that hampers the initial discussion.
Yeah, definitely. Although I was listening to a podcast that is called The Gilmore Guys, and it's two guys who... I've just listened to the first episode of that.
Oh, brilliant.
It's two guys talking about Gilmore Girls. Why are we laughing at this? Is this blatant sort of sexism going on?
There's something funny about the gender reversal of the title.
It's a girly show and boys are doing it.
I think there's something funny.
I don't know anything
about
the Gilmore Girls. I've got no clue what happens in that show. It could be about...
You mean it's like Golden Girls but with golf?
No, it isn't. What are you saying, Sam?
I think we're just laughing at the fact that you love it so much.
Gilmore Guys, I've literally just listened to the first episode of their podcast, and it's well scrappy compared to ours. They sorted out, I think it's a couple of years old now. But it was, to me, actually, it was really interesting. They had one guy on it who's seen a lot and one guy who just watched episode one. And I found it really entertaining to listen to. And I started to doubt my idea of not doing it the way we normally do it. So maybe not a permanent departure from the way we do this, but perhaps some intermittent ones, or for a while maybe go down one route to allow ourselves to explore a little more. That might be nice. So any suggestions of which one we should do for that? studio@theboxsetpod.com. Now then, thank you. Next week then, Black Mirror. Next week, we're going to discuss Black Mirror. I think it was Rick who emailed, said he might want to come on and be our guinea pig. Rick, why don't you watch episode one on Netflix of Black Mirror? That would be exciting. You can come on and join us next week.
For those of us who are noobs, we're watching the one on Netflix.
Are you noob as well,
so
Matt?
Is that episode one, season three? Is that what you're saying?
Episode one, season one.
Because Netflix has put the original two seasons on as well. So the Netflix ones are season three on Netflix. Make sure you get the right one.
What?
Yeah. Just make sure you're watching episode one, season one, episode one of Black Mirror.
No, that's
the Channel 4 one. Yeah, so that's the original Channel 4 one. Yes. If you want to watch the new Netflix ones, you have to watch season three, episode one.
Right, Go to Netflix, type in Black Mirror and press play.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, I've seen like a couple of episodes from a couple of seasons.
Right, we'll go back to the first one on Netflix. How is this so complicated?
This is a car crash.
Open Netflix and press play on Black Mirror, episode one that's on there. Okay? Everybody's clear. Okay. Thank you very much, everybody.
And thank you.
Especially Sam, thank you for joining us. Thank you very much. You're welcome back in the future, Sam.
Yeah, you're well too clever for this pod, Sam.
I know.
Back off.
Cheers, Jamie.
Goodbye, all.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.